Over and over again, I tried to let the entire book reflect this, that the holiness of all the saints is only the holiness of Jesus reflected in their lives.
Pastor Will Wheaton, author of the new book, Celebrating the Saints.
And this holiness of Christ is the thing which the saints grabbed onto in faith, and it illumined their lives.
You can purchase Celebrating the Saints by calling 1-800-325-3040 or at issuesetc.org.
We will be one people under one God. One people under one God. Under one God. Saluting one American flag. One American flag.
You can't make the argument that sexual diversity is good because God said of everything that he made in Genesis 1 that it was good.
But as Christians, at least, we do have to kind of sit back and be like, okay, at what point do we decide we're not part of the American culture anymore? We're not a subculture of the American thinking anymore.
This is Alex in Northwest Indiana, and I am an Uber listener.
I don't think he has any lines in the script of the Gospels. Maybe he does. Not in his own Gospel. He is somewhat anonymous in his own Gospel, although his calling is there, the calling of Levi the tax collector, Matthew the tax collector. But he does bring us a Gospel that is lovely in its Old Testament richness, that really, in a lot of ways, unites together Old and New Testament. Matthew, he's remembered on this day, by the way, the 21st of September, not only as evangelist, that is, author of that gospel that bears his name, but also as apostle, one of Jesus' disciples, an eyewitness of which there are so few, but of which there are so much testimony to the truth of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. We're going to be remembering Matthew, the apostle and evangelist, on this Wednesday afternoon. Pastor Will Wheaton will join us. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this September 21st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After a conversation with Pastor Wheaton, Terry Mattingly will join us. We're going to talk about a new Gallup poll on public confidence in the news media. Very low as it's ever been. And Terry says it's going lower. Dr. Jennifer Oback-Morse will join us from the Ruth Institute. Two issues to discuss with her in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Cafeteria Catholics and American Politics, and also the impact of contraceptive ideology around the world. Then we'll get our weekly update on the November elections with Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and Molly Hemingway of The Federalist. You can join us for the next 2 hours. Your questions and comments are welcome. 1-877-623-MY-IE. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And for our beloved on-demand listeners, there's the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to remember the apostle and evangelist Matthew, Pastor Will Wheaton, Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, host of a radio program called Thy Strong Word, and author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Celebrating the Saints. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. What a joy to be with you today on St. Matthew's Day.
What does it tell you that even in his own gospel, he's by testimony of the church, the author of this gospel, eyewitness there from the beginning and on the ground floor of Jesus' ministry and all the way through, an apostle. He didn't give himself any lines to speak.
Isn't that amazing?
He's just almost completely in the background of the thing.
Yeah, it's similar in a way to the way John moves himself out when he tells the story by just talking about the disciple whom Jesus loved. But in Matthew, it's even more stark. There's only really a focus on Jesus. And isn't that really what the whole thing is about? St. Matthew is listed as that first gospel in the New Testament, I think, because of that very self-effacing way he has. He gives us the story of Jesus as the fulfillment of Scripture, and that's that.
There's no I in the thing.
Nope.
At all. It's all third person.
When the I is speaking there, it's usually Jesus, you know.
So let's talk a little bit about the fact that he's not just apostle, because he would be remembered by the church even if he had not penned a gospel.
Right. I mean, to be an apostle is a great thing. I mean, when we get to see the reality described in Revelation 22 and see that, or 21 and 22, see the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, written on the foundation stones will be the names of the apostles of the Lamb. So Matthew or Levi is going to be one of those names. We celebrate and rejoice in that. But even more, he is the one who gave us this first of the Gospels. And, you know, Treasury Today, or Pray Now if you have the app, it had a beautiful little introduction to this by the great Lutheran preacher, the one that's called the Lutheran Chrysostom, Valerius Herberger. At the beginning, he said, you know, St. Matthew was an excellent noble man, not only one of the 12 foundations of consolation, the apostles of Jesus Christ, but also one of the four great spiritual streams of paradise, a holy evangelist whose words flow from the great fountain in paradise, Jesus Christ. And when you hear that, you might think, what on earth is the man talking about? But you need to remember that Herberger, as all the, you know, the Christians of that time, had been shaped by the hymnody of the Latin Church. Listen to these lines from this lovely hymn of Adam of St. Victor. This was actually in our Lutheran hymnal. Unfortunately, it's no longer in Lutheran service book. Christians, come, in sweetest measures, sing of those who spread the treasures in the Holy Gospel shrine. Blessed tidings of salvation, peace on earth, their proclamation, love from God to lost mankind. See the rivers four that gladden with their streams the better Eden planted by our Savior dear. Christ, the fountain, these the waters. Drink, O Zion sons and daughters, drink and find salvation here. Here our souls by Jesus sated more and more shall be translated, earth's temptations far above, freed from sin's abhorred dominion, soaring on angelic pinion, they shall reach the source of love. So you have Herberger basically picking up this theme from the hymnody that the four gospels are like the four streams, and they water God's new Eden, his new paradise, his church. And that's just one of the amazing features of the day, that beautiful picture. And Matthew gets top billing because he's the one that actually, in the church's historic old lectionary, he's the one most of the readings come from. Most of the time in church, you're reading from Matthew because he's massive in the selection of text from the lips of Jesus. I mean, John has big discourses too, but Matthew also. And that makes sense. The two that were among the apostles, eyewitnesses to everything that took place, they record the biggest chunks of Jesus' teaching. And Matthew very purposefully seems to style his gospel on Torah. You know, you have five big discourses, five big, like the five big books. And the first one, the Sermon on the Mount, where else would Jesus, the greater than Moses, begin his teaching? But you know, like something recalling Sinai. But instead of all the thunder and the fire, you get the roaring of the Beatitudes. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Blessed are you when men persecute you and speak all kinds of evil against you falsely for my account. Rejoice, be glad. Your reward is great in heaven. I think it's worthwhile that we ponder what we owe of our picture of Jesus in earthly terms from this particular gospel. This Jewish tax collector, which means he was a turncoat to his own people, an outcast, a real live sinner, whom Jesus called from raking in the dough to giving away the good news and eternal life. Only in Matthew do you hear about Joseph's difficulty coming to terms with the virgin birth. Only in Matthew do you hear about the visit of the Magi. Only in Matthew do you have the full form of the Lord's Prayer that Christians throughout the world use in the divine service and in the daily offices and in their own prayers. Only from Matthew's pen do we have the giving of what's called the Great Commission with the Trinity invoked. The church has been just immeasurably enriched by Matthew's witness to the Savior. And the frequency with which that gospel is chosen for the reading in the church's worship, I think, just reflects that. But maybe it's most of all in the gospel reading that's proper for this day that we really see the most awesome picture that Matthew paints of Jesus as Savior. Because the calling of Matthew shows a Jesus who is accused of being and is a friend of sinners. the Jesus who has not come to call the righteous to repentance, the Jesus who has come here as the heavenly physician to deal with those who are sick to death with sin and who dares even to eat and to drink with them.
I want to deal with that friend of sinners for just a second before we take our break, which I think has been, I don't think too much has been made of it. I think too little has been made of it. To portray Jesus as a mere friend of sinners, not savior, but mere, just, he's just friendly with sinners. He likes to hang out with the bad boys and the bad girls because that's just kind of how he rolls.
He's with it.
Yeah. Rather than friend in a very particular way. As you say, snatching them from the jaws of death.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about the way that the old explanation to the catechism, much more accurately, translated the explanation of the fifth commandment. And so to befriend your neighbor in every need. Think about what that means, to befriend someone. Jesus is that kind of a friend, the one who comes to rescue you and give you what you need. And what you need above all things else is true communion with him.
He is depicted, the four evangelists all have their animals, usually on the gospel book, there's
right.
four of them. They're winged creatures, but mm-hmm. they're earthly creatures.
Right.
One is a man, then we would say perhaps an angel, but it's a winged man. Another's an ox, another is an eagle. And then Matthew is a winged lion.
No.
No?
No.
What is Matthew?
Matthew's the man.
He's the man.
He's the winged man, yeah.
Okay, why is that?
Well, he's emphasizing Jesus as Son of Man, right? The lion is Mark.
Mark, and yes.
The,
okay, sorry.
The ox, this Christ is sacrificed, Luke, and then John's the eagle soaring above the other descriptions.
So this winged man, and those wings obviously are reference to the proclamation of the eternal gospel.
Yeah, well, I mean, it ties in. I mean, what's happening in those images is you have collisions of Ezekiel and Revelation being meshed together and put to use. I mean, these four living critters that are surrounding the throne of God and crying out their ceaseless cry to the Lord, the holy, holy, holy. Who are they? What are they? The church has always seen them to be an image and picture of the evangelist. And Matthew, as the first one, depicting the true humanity of Christ as a man. You stop and think about it. How does his gospel begin? Unlike any of the others, he begins with a genealogy. He begins by telling you where this man came from, and he traces the genealogy. Not significantly. He doesn't go like Luke when he finally gets to the genealogy. He goes all the way back to Adam. Matthew simply goes back to Abraham. This he's saying, this is the one who is the fulfillment of all the promises that God gave to Abram from the time that he took a people for himself. But this one is the one who is Savior of sinners, the one who the Matthew Jesus came to know and love was a Jesus sent from the Father into our flesh precisely to be Savior of those whose lives are a wreck, who have disobeyed the law of God, who know that their disobedience has hurt and damaged others, and who know there is absolutely squat they can do to fix it. The people that Jesus can help are those who have stopped trying to fix their own lives. They've given up on the 10 easy steps for holy living and the 40 days of purpose for their purpose-driven life. I don't know if we have time for it, but there's a quote from Luther that I want to share that I think captures the brilliance of what Matthew saw when he saw Jesus in the reading appointed for this day as friend of sinners. Maybe we should pick it up on the other side.
Let's do that.
Okay.
On the other side of the break, we will be talking about that. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest joining us on this Wednesday afternoon. To remember the evangelist and the apostle Matthew, the church remembers him on this day, September the 21st. He's director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for September, celebrating saints.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Thanks to Pastors Glenn Obenberger and Samuel Gullickson and Parkland Lutheran Church in Tacoma, Washington, for recently joining the Issues Etc. 300, our congregational sponsorship program. The Issues Etc. 300 not only helps support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc., it also allows us to publicize your confessional Lutheran church. Most congregations are going to be making budget decisions this fall, so download this informational flyer on the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page at issuesetc.org. Present it to your appropriate church leaders or committee, the Issues Etc. 300. We're remembering the apostle and evangelist Matthew on this September 21st. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. You had a Luther quote that you said simply nails friend of sinners.
Yeah, I think Matthew would have heard this and gone, amen. So this is something that Luther wrote to a friend of his, an Augustinian friar, Spenlein, who is still struggling with the idea that he had to do that his favor with God, his standing with God, hung on what he did. So Luther writes, you know, I want to know the condition of your heart. I want to know whether you've at last come to loathe your very own righteousness and desire to rejoice in the righteousness of Christ and to be of good cheer because of that. For in these days, the temptation to presumptuousness is very strong, particularly in those who strive with might and main to be righteous and godly and don't know about the altogether immaculate righteousness of God freely given in Christ. As a result of this, they keep searching for something good inside themselves until they feel that they can pass muster before God as people who are properly adorned with virtue and virtuous and meritorious deeds, all of which is impossible. While you were with us, you held this opinion, rather this error, just like I did. For my part, I still wrestle with it. I'm not quite rid of it. So, dear brother, learn Christ. Learn Christ crucified. Learn to sing praises to him and to despair completely of your own works. Learn to say to him, you, my Lord Jesus, are my righteousness. I am your sin. You took from me what's mine and have given me what's yours. You became what you were not to make me be what I wasn't. Oh, my brother, beware of your ceaseless striving for a righteousness so great that you no longer appear a sinner in your own eyes, and that you don't want to be a sinner, because Jesus dwells only in sinners. He came down from heaven, where he dwelt with the righteous, for the very purpose of dwelling in sinners also. You think about this love of his, and it will bring you the sweetest consolation. Isn't that beautiful? That's the Lord Jesus that Matthew's gospel reveals to us. The Lord Jesus who came down from heaven precisely in order to dwell among and in sinners. The Jesus who welcomes sinners and even eats with them. The Jesus who calls sinners. This is only in Matthew's gospel. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Jesus who loves each sinner so much as to go to the cross, bearing the very curse of God against all sinners in his own flesh, so that, as it's in only Matthew's gospel, his blood be on us and on our children. The Jesus who raised from the dead sends forth his apostles to bring and call all sinners into the fellowship of his church through baptism and teaching them to, and this is really key, in Matthew's gospel, teaching them to hold on to all that I have commanded you. So stop for a second and ask, so what's the last command that Jesus gave before those words in Matthew's gospel? Try this on for size. Take, eat. This is my body. Drink of it, all of you. This is my covenant blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. That is what you are above all to hold on to and treasure. For the Jesus who ate with sinners, like Matthew, is the Jesus who still goes on eating with sinners, like you and me, at his table, goes on giving us forgiveness by giving us his body and blood. Isn't that, I think it just blows us away. The same Jesus who called Matthew, who made him an apostle and an evangelist, he is the same Jesus who still calls sinners to his table and still welcomes them. And isn't that finally what the Christian life is all about? It's not keeping someone's list of rules, not even God's, but it is eating and drinking with Jesus in his kingdom, allowing his life to flow into us, enjoying the presence. And that's what we were redeemed for. In fact, it's what we're created for. And that's the great news that Matthew, in his gospel, announces to everyone. We sing it, Jesus sinners doth receive. Oh, may all this saying ponder, who in sin's delusion live and from God and heaven wonder. Here is hope for all who grieve. Jesus sinners doth receive. And I just think that's at the heart of the vision of Jesus that Matthew portrays.
The church would observe this day, and we're really on a day for an evangelist. We're talking about a big day for the church. It's not just remembering anybody. This is remembering these men who, as you said at the beginning, who formed these four streams for the church.
Especially the evangelists and apostles.
Yes,
so when they're together.
And the apostles. So how would the church best observe this day? What would that look like in the best of all possible scenarios?
Well, the best of all possible scenarios, of course, you have divine service and the opportunity to come together. You know, I'm working on paper right now for a conference I'm getting ready to do out in New York. And it's like a snapshot view of how the church observed these things in Lutheranism in days of yore, like in Magdeburg in the beginning of the 17th century. You know what Matthew would have had for his day? The people would have had Vespers the night before, and they would have come and made confession and received forgiveness. Then the next morning, they would have had Matins, following Matins with lauds attached to it. They would have then had the divine service in those days called the Mass, and they would have celebrated this for St. Matthew's Day with the readings that we still have, you know, in our book as the readings for St. Matthew's Day. And they would have thanked God for this precious gift that he used this man, sinner like all of us, to give us, inspired by the Spirit, the very words of life. So many promises that we cling to, so many words that fill our liturgy. Our baptismal liturgy comes from Matthew. Our the Lord's Prayer, we said that, it comes from Matthew. You check it out. He is the source of so very much of our common life. So then we celebrate that with the divine service. And at the close of the day, you'd have our Vespers again to wrap out the day with the thanking God for the gift of Matthew. It sounds like, well, people say, isn't that a little overkill? Really? Really? Is it too crazy to set aside an entire day to thank God for the source of these words on which we have so much of our hope depend. Just a thought.
One of the things that you mentioned here earlier that I'd like you to expand on just a little bit is that, as our time winds down, is that Matthew seems to consciously build his book around Jesus as the fulfillment mm-hmm. of not just Moses, but Moses' message mm-hmm. as well. Expand on yeah. that with a few minutes yeah. left.
Stop and think about it. Luther's description of what he does to Moses, he says he Mosesimos Moses. I mean, he out-Moseses Moses in what he does in the Sermon on the Mount, because he drives all the way down to the heart. And it's not enough to have some external keeping of the law. He shows that no. For you to stand before God on the basis of the law, you have to have a perfect righteousness. You know, again, right out of Matthew, only these words, you must therefore be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. The entirety of the rest of the gospel is to show you what that perfection is. It is not Jesus as your example. It is Jesus as the gift of God's life into our flesh. Here in him is the perfect righteousness. He will show you Jesus as the man who walks in an absolute, unbroken obedience to his Father. He says yes, 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 all the way to the cross. And so his is a life that never ends. That's what Matthew wants to point us to. And that life is Jesus' gift to us. Matthew's gospel hands that Jesus over to us. It's a beautiful thing. And you know, one more thing real quickly mm-hmm. on how to observe it. If we do, you know, obviously most of our churches don't have the Day of St. Matthew observed today, but that's one of the goals of the book, Celebrating the Saints, was to allow the for a fuller celebration in our homes of these days that pass by in our church's year. Treasury gets you a lot of the way there, and Celebrating the Saints just adds the icing on the cake, as it were.
Pastor Whedon mentioned Celebrating the Saints. It is the Issues, Etc. book of the month for September, and he has authored it. It's a devotional resource following the course of the year in the church's calendar, the days that the church observes these saints and feasts and festivals. For each one of those days, a short devotional resource that you find not only gratifying in terms of your learning, but in terms of your life with the Word of God. Find out more about Celebrating the Saints from Pastor Will Whedon at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Will Whedon is Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, host of the radio talk show called Thy Strong Word. He'll be back with us again tomorrow to continue our series on Setting the Lord's Table. We'll discuss feasts, festivals, occasions, and liturgical colors. Will, thank you very much for being our guest.
Hey, thank you.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Terry Mattingly of the On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, that new Gallup poll that we've talked about before here that shows the public confidence in the news media at an all-time low. Terry says it's going lower, and he'll explain why after this.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.